kinda good there, center stage, bro.
Oh. Okay.
All right, Richard, you can start the meeting whenever you're ready.
Okay, we will call this meeting in order. This is a meeting of the Port of Brookings Harbor Budget Committee. Before we dive in too deep, I would say that this is a pretty rewarding experience. This is one of the things that we have to do by law. It's statutory that we have to approve a budget. I wasn't here prior to the way this budget is done, but I know from past experience there were times when we didn't have much idea of what we were spending and where it was coming from. So things have changed materially over the last 15 years at least. So with that, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Danielle, roll call, please.
Joe Spear.
Here.
Sharon Hartung.
Present.
Larry Jonas.
Here.
Richard Heath.
Here.
Kenneth Range.
Here.
Al Cornell.
Here.
Wayne Keane.
Here.
Richard C.
Here.
Gary Hartung.
Here.
Brett Hester.
Here.
Okay, with that, I'll open the floor for nominations for a budget committee president.
I would like to make note that last year Sharon was the budget committee president.
Sharon, you want to do it again?
If you would like. Anybody else interested? Go for it.
Well, I'll second the motion.
I make a motion to appoint Sharon Hartung to
the budget committee.
That's the budget committee.
Anybody second that?
I second that.
Thank you.
Okay, well, any further nominations? Okay, hearing that. Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Al?
Yes.
Wayne?
Yes.
Rich?
Yes.
Gary?
Yes.
Brett?
Yes.
Sharon, you want to take it from here?
Yes, thank you. I'm just reading this here. So anyway, we'll call the meeting to order of the budget committee. So we have already appointed myself as being in charge of this, being president. So I received the budget message.
The budget message. All right, so in the first part of the budget that was handed out to everybody is our budget message. It is rather lengthy. Does anybody right out of the gate have any questions or concerns given the budget message? So I do have some changes that will affect the budget message. So if we could, I would like, if you don't mind, Sharon, I'd like to go over the handout that I gave you guys.
Okay.
The additional handout.
Sure, go ahead.
This was cleaning up some of the things with the land sale that we had, the $50,000 we got from the county for the state local fiscal recovery fund. When we took that money in, we put it in the reserve fund. Well, the reserve fund, we had to show it being in here on the budget overview, on the very bottom, the 400,000 that's highlighted in red, you'll see that that went up 174,000, and that's mm-hmm. because of the property sale, mm-hmm. and that is in the reserve fund because we can make a resolution and decide that that's where it's going to go. The at the top for the cash remaining from the previous year, it went up to 402,000. That's due from us taking the grants and other funding, the 50,000, and moving that up to cash carryover. Okay. So it doesn't change our end number. It's just cleaning up where the money is. We go to page two, the next page. I'm sorry, this is page 1 of 9. So I'm just going to have us kind of go through the budget and find the pages that we're talking about. So page 1 of 9, general fund on your budget packet, is the exact same page as I handed you over here. It just shows the change of the general fund, the $50,000 going back up to cash carryover. Went from 352, 242 to 402, 242. Is there any questions with what that money is and why we're moving it up there? Okay.
Is that in the general fund now?
It's in the general fund now, yes. And that $50,000 guidance from the United States Treasury that allows, it tells us, it's called the final rule, which gives the outline of what projects it's covered under, and there is reporting on it back to the county for the money that we spent. It's going into our general fund because it'll be a topic that we discuss after July. I'll bring some different options of what we can use the money for and how they can be put into the port, and then we'll decide where we want to actually spend that money.
Right. Let me ask you a question about the general fund. That money is required from all different resources, I imagine.
The general fund?
And it's up to the management of the port to where they're going to be spending that money, or how does that work?
The general fund money, most of it is laid out here. The only thing that's not really said where we're spending it is on, you know, the repairs and maintenance that are needed. It doesn't go through toilet paper.
Well, what I'm saying is, who supervises that? In other words, where that money goes, does that come from the board office, or does that come from
the general fund expenditures?
Yeah,
it comes from the port manager and our day-to-day.
Okay, that's
day-to-day.
All
it, it's just a part of our day-to-day spending that we do with what our general fund.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
About this? So, the one thing I would mention about this budget is that obviously these are, in many cases, our best estimates. Anytime you're dealing with funds generated from natural resources, you always have some issues. So we can't control things like the salmon season, the amount of crab that's available, when the crab season's going to open, all the things that are kind of variables here go into this. So this is based on the best estimate of staff as to what our revenues may be. Now, you'll see budget readjustments periodically during the year, which brings reality and projection together. So we actually have to adjust the budget based on what's really happened versus what we thought was going to happen. So I just make that comment because sometimes people will say, well, you guys didn't even come close.
Well, all I would ask was, who does the arbitrary, decision as to what happens? And it's the board manager, the way I understand it. And he gets input from everybody else.
Well, yes and no. I mean, there are many things that come before us for approval.
So,
major projects, salaries, some of those kind of things would come to us for approval if we were going to adjust them. And then also, by authorizing this budget, we basically take their recommendations and say, yes, go ahead.
Okay, then it happens.
Right.
Okay, good.
I mean, they don't have, the staff doesn't have independent budget authority to go do whatever they want to do.
Of course.
Although.
This is my guideline.
Yeah, there are discretionary funds that are available, but as a general rule, once we approve the budget, then they go ahead and manage.
Okay, carry on.
Okay, the next page, the requirements, page 2 of 9. This is where I want to let everybody know I am wanting to hire a project manager for the port. Given what our current budget shows, I am proposing that we up it to $21,923 in the office staff, bringing the office staff from 270,475 to 292,398. I'm taking that money from the repairs and maintenance from the marina, which repairs and maintenance from the general fund, which still puts us well within our number of what we kind of need to do repairs and maintenance at the port. The project manager position is something that I have kicked around for a little bit. The end result of what I've found is that the port is short a person, and where I find our biggest shortfall is managing our major projects that we have. For those of you who don't know, we have wastewater treatment plant, we have FEMA and buying a dredge. We are currently going through hazard mitigation funding for paving and storm drains throughout the Bozard and the commercial area, along with other things such as the $50,000 for the county funds and any other future grants or anything that we want. I am trying to find somebody that's going to be qualified in that area to kind of help make sure that vision of the port in the future is still moving forward.
A full-time job.
A full-time job, yes. And that's to also help manage our reimbursements. All of these projects that we are doing, it's about $7 million worth of projects, are 100% funded. But in order for them to be 100% funded, our paperwork, everything has to be in order, submitted correctly, and tracked so that we are reimbursed. Right now, we have a lot of money out right now for reimbursements, probably close to $200,000 out right now that we are waiting for final funding to come through. Those are big items for us that we need to, that I feel we need to make sure that we are looking at very carefully and making sure that money comes back and making sure these projects through federal and state funding go off as smooth as possible, which will be a great outlook for the port, good outlook for the board, and everybody to show that we're stepping up and trying to make sure these projects have the attention that they need.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Is this position going to be temporary or will there be a long-term thing? Because right now there's a lot of projects going on. Are we going to need him 3-4 years from now, or?
Absolutely. I 100% think so. I think that as long as, once our project's going on, we need to also be very mindful of keeping the future in mind, grants, anything that are available. You know, typically take a very long time to fill out these applications, go through their processes, and then actually, get the funding and then apply it to our budget. So it could take, a year's worth of budget cycle to get the funding and then the next year spend it. We have multiple projects throughout this port that are going to require some dedication to figuring out planning and making sure that timelines are met, deadlines are met. We have our boardwalk is failing. We did just, the board approved landing fees for the first time. We've never had landing fees before. The intended purpose for that is to start building it in our reserve account. And hopefully, within 4 to 5 years, we will be able to look at other grant opportunities to improve our receiving docks in those areas as needed. Currently, right now, there's no money, not enough money or any money set aside for winter receiving docks or anything like that fails. We have currently one dock that is completely shut down and closed. We have the Hallmark dock that is showing extreme wear and tear that's going to need future money spent at it, along with the north end of Pacific Seafood's receiving dock, which the pillars and the beams are starting to rot. So by implementing this and the amount of things that we have coming up, having somebody dedicated to making sure that we're staying caught up with what future needs are going to be coming. I wish I could tackle all of it and do it myself, but I can't. That's just too much for me to make sure I'm managing the port and the needs of that, and then try and, you know, create a wastewater treatment plant and paving and all that in between. So that's why I'm proposing a full-time project manager. The salary will be $62,400 a year. I think it's important to know project managers for any of these projects are extremely expensive. Our current person that we have per se as a project manager is our engineer, and he's $100 an hour, and he's on the cheap end of project management. So another thing with this person, that a lot of these 100% funded projects and their future grants, a lot of his wages and stuff can be figured into reimbursement. If we get one grant that's $500,000 or $1 million, you can pretty much safely say that employee carries his weight all the way, you know, throughout the whole year as wages are paid. So I think it's a need we've needed for a long time, and currently right now I have a job posting out for it, seeing what there is available out there for us to pick from. I know the selection is tight, but we are going through our hiring policy to see what comes up.
Travis?
Yes, sir.
Salary is $62,400. What about other costs? I'm just looking for a total number.
For that salary, $62,400 is what the salary position will be, and then there'll be benefits and insurance on top of that, which run about $5,000 a year. So this, what I am proposing on this on page 2 of 9 is that our total personnel services go from $883,941 to $905,860.
Travis,
yeah,
Richard has a question.
Comment. I would suggest you change the title of this from project manager to project slash grant manager to reflect what we may do down the road. I agree
project
with
what?
Project slash grant manager. I agree with you. I think the challenge for us is going to be twofold in this area. Number one, when we get federal money, it's not really free in the respect that we have to be very careful that we spend it according to the rules and regulations that the government imposes on us. I would not be surprised to be audited by EPA or FEMA.
They will.
I worked for an agency that got a lot of federal money, and we had an annual audit where they would come and make sure that we spent the money according to their rules, that's fine. I mean, that's what happens when you get money from the federal government or the state. So I think it would be very important to have somebody who was really on top of that and was able to track that and make sure that, working in conjunction with April, that we got everything done according to OIL.
I think the port manager is totally responsible for that whole thing instead of the person that is doing the day-to-day work. He's the guy that supervises the whole thing and makes sure that things are done.
He's responsible for everything that happened.
That's right.
Within his authority, I think in this case he would have the opportunity to delegate responsibility for specified items to this person to go ahead and track that.
Right.
But it's still his
total responsibility.
Sure.
I basically is what I'm looking for is somebody that is qualified to delegate that kind of work to, by no at the end of the day, I'm still the port manager. Nothing's getting turned in, nothing's getting submitted, nothing's getting signed by anybody, but I will.
Well, let me ask you another question. You've got a project going on, and the port, the manager that requires this, that, and the next thing to be done, that has to be okay by you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, instead of, you know, just totally on its own.
No.
Well, in reality, this person most likely is going to be coordinating with her engineer as this project goes forward, because the engineer will be on site most of the time to make sure that the work's being done the way we prescribed it to be done. So it's, you know, this is just a person who's going to basically live, eat, and breathe projects and grants. My experience with the port and other places that I've seen is we have a tendency to be a little tightwad when it comes to people, and we like to just delegate more and more responsibility on folks. And we've discovered over time that that has some pitfalls in it, particularly when the person who's got all that responsibility leaves, then you've got to figure out, well, now what are we going to do?
Hire somebody like me.
Well,
well, but
I still have
also,
a lot of learning curve.
Also, if Travis has all that to do, then most likely he's going to miss an opportunity because he doesn't have the time to put into it.
Oh, I understand.
How did you come up with the $62,000?
$30 an hour.
$30 an hour. And you think that's going to attract somebody that's qualified?
I think that's the number I have to start with, given how much money we have. And if I have to, if I get no applicants for it, then I might need to revise how that might happen. But until I put it out there, I do know that there is at least two qualified people out there right now that are could possibly be looking for jobs that would fit this description that I personally know of. So either way with that, I think it's a number that we could start with. And if I don't get anything back, we might have to review what that, I might have to review what that number and what that position might be. There might be a change, but I'm pretty confident in where I'm at right now that it's a good starting number, it's a good wage and a number for people here, people in this community that might be looking for a position like that. If I were to go farther, cast the net farther out, I would definitely think that I would have to raise that dollar amount. But having a project manager that is a port employee that lives within the port district is really what I'm after, that you know, that has experience in these things, that can be here and be a significant help to me.
What are the other ports doing for this kind of a position?
So we are considered a small port. We are one of the biggest small ports in Oregon. Take that for what it is. What that basically means is that we have a lot more going on than any other small port as far as grants, especially
right.
Given the staffing size that we have. If you look at Newport, Astoria, Charleston, you know, they have a lot of employees. They have a lot of people that are dedicated to one specific thing, maybe two specific things, and they spread their delegations out over quite a few people. Here we have 11 employees to do from bathrooms and garbages to the port and project managing. It's not enough is what I have came to the conclusion. I know a little let you guys in on my last review. It's been a big struggle for me to try and figure out where everybody's going to land. You know, not having our port manager leave and then our director of finance leave after that put us at a new mortgage manager. We hired an office assistant. April is new to the office manager position. So not only do we have a lot of people that are new, but other ports is what they, you know, they do is they have people that specifically do grants and project managing, or accounting is one job, financing might be another job, but right now we're roping all those into one person.
What I was actually asking you is, these other ports start off with a salary that's, you know, $50,000, $60,000 a year, but somebody that's doing it.
I really don't know.
Okay.
For a project manager at $50,000, $60,000, I really doubt you're getting the quality that you want. I question the number that I am proposing, but I know that the number I'm proposing is doable within the numbers that we have. I wish I could hire somebody, you know, a lot more people, but it, you know, we have to be very careful about where our needs are and what monies we have to do it and try and maximize that person for the best port benefit.
Okay, thanks.
Travis, before we leave this page, I have a question. So it doesn't show salary of the port manager being in the budget on this page. Is it reflected somewhere in the budget, or
it is? It was grouped under our office staff.
It was done
that way last year, so I left it at that in this budget. I could move it if
you look on that form all the way over to the left at year 2022-21,
right.
You can see where they put the port manager's salary in there. You can see the significant down number from the office staff.
Right. Okay.
So starting
separating
in,
the two, I am an office staff employee, so it just.
Yeah. I just want to know if it was.
Trying to eliminate a line item amongst the many line items that we have.
Well, that,
right,
that's the same way with the RV office staff. There's nothing in there. Is that shown someplace?
They're in the office staff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I was curious.
We're trying to simplify the lines, but they have to stay on there if there's one in any column. So we've grouped it into. More general office staff, RV.
You'll see some of these are blank, but they have to remain blank until they fall off our budget to actually get rid of that line item. So it could take, you know, we might not do anything in there. It might show zero, like the RV park staff. This should be the last year that this line item will have to be on here because nothing's been added to it. So after it goes through its process, next year, we will be able to eliminate the RV park office staff line item because it will be in office staff.
Okay. It is still shown later in the packet on the schedule for the RV park. It's just that on the total requirements page, all four of those categories, RV park, commercial retail, fuel dock, and marina office, their schedules all reflect the salaries, and it just groups together on the front under one category.
And Ken has a question.
Yep.
Ken?
Richard, in your opening remarks, you said that major projects and salary would require commission approval. Is this position going to require commission approval?
It comes in the form of a budget.
This is our discussion on it right now.
I would say so.
Right. We approve it.
In the past, on any kind of, well, this is an employee, not a consultant, so that's my only question.
Thank you.
I will now admit some confusion.
Sure.
So if we have a line item that says salary port manager with nothing in it, then why do we even have that line?
We just, like we said, you can see on the all the way to the left where it says 83,858.
Right.
We cannot get rid of this line item until that number falls off. So next year's budget, when we move all these numbers will move down, which will push it off the budget.
Thank you.
Now it suddenly goes. Okay. Thanks.
I asked the same question.
Okay, Travis.
So the totals, materials, and services will go from $2,061,868 to $2,039,945. And with that change, it does not change our total allocated requirements numbers. We just took from repairs and maintenance and pushed it into employment.
We intend that our repairs and maintenance will go down a little because our outside staff will be working on those funded projects.
Due to the amount of funded projects, our FEMA project, for those of you that don't know, we are still planning on buying a dredge and being able to do dredging in-house. So our employees will be expending time on that. Their time while they're dredging will be reimbursable back to us through the 100% funded program. So that's why you'll see the repairs and maintenance are down significantly less, because the amount of projects that we have, we don't have enough guys to spend that much money on projects. So most of our guys' time, I'm hoping, will be in and around project-related activities. Just another change. I know we're flipping through the budget. Actually, let's just go page by page here. So page three
okay.
of the budget, general fund. I have no changes to this page. It's the total general fund, total requirements for our operating budget is $3,884,242.
So this is in the original.
What page is that?
The big packet?
I know I was trying to figure out a best way to
in the original budget, we're all, and then as we...
These little handouts that I gave you are only changes.
Yes. Right. So we're on
page 3 of 9. This requires summary, general fund at the top.
There's two different groups. Yeah, you got the nines on top and the sevens on the bottom.
Oh, we're in two.
On this page. I think the big one to note on this page is that we do have an operating contingency of $255,382.
What does that mean?
It means they're basically an unallocated number that we haven't put in there.
So is that your discretion? It goes where it's
not in my discretion. It's just a part of our general fund money that isn't appropriated in this. The contingency number that gives us, it's figured into here, but if we need to pull it, you know, I could have took this project manager's salary out of contingency if I wanted to, but leaving contingency up leaves us more options to use it in case we need to.
Sure.
Page 4. This goes over our debt. This is in particular to our USDA loan. This is our balloon, our once a year payment. It's November 4th, 6th. Every year it's $130,120. The reason it kind of gets chopped up like this is because our fiscal year
carries
over. So we have to carry over the $88,110, and then from July to November, we'll put in another $42,000 for it to be directly taken out of our account for $130,120. A lot of money.
Stuff is bouncing all over the place.
Okay, page 5.
Let me ask a quick question before we leave that. The total interest, where's that from, bank accounts?
On the revenue bond page, that's the interest for the IFA loan.
That you're paying?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Page 5 and 9, debt service funds. This goes over our... forklift payment, our 12K forklift payment, our travel lift lease, our IFA loans, and the possibility of, you'll see on number 9, assets from land sale to pay for my IFA. I have this in here to pay that. For those of you that don't know, we sold a piece of property in this year. It was sold for $175,000. Our obligations to IFA, who holds a lot of our debt, is that any asset that the port sells 80% of that sale will go directly to our debt, mm-hmm. and 20% of that of the money made will go to our reserve fund. That's the deal that we have there. So I asked in one of our board meetings, I asked for Business Oregon to forego that for us on this one particular asset sale, so that the money, if we needed to be, could be used for matching funds for the wastewater treatment plant. Now we have filled out the cost share waiver. So the cost share for the wastewater treatment plant is $875,000. I am pretty hopeful that we will get the cost share waiver and or be able to work with Pacific Seafood to get the matching funds taken down. This I asked for kind of worst case scenario, if we have to have the money, we didn't have that much. So I started building an account. As long as we get that cost share waiver, which I don't know yet, I am planning on paying IFA that $140,000 is why that number's in there. It could change in our supplemental budget in the next year if that doesn't happen. If we get the cost share waiver, or if we don't get the cost share waiver, then we will be retaining this money in our reserve fund. But like I said, right now, best guess, I'm hoping we get the cost share waiver and that we'll be able to pay another $140,000 towards our debt.
Perfect.
So our total debt through there will be $510,529.
Travis, can I make a suggestion? The Travel Lift Lease, that's the name of the company for you people locally.
It is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Travel Lift is on a loan, and the name of the lender is M2 Lease. Thank you.
And another side note on that, the Travel Lift is scheduled to be paid off in November.
All right. This year.
Excellent. So that's
beautiful.
That's a good milestone for us to hit. We got another $18,000 left to pay on it, and we will own it. So that will also help our boatyard and future revenues, you know, what it brings. You know, that's our payment on that's about $5,000 a month. Okay, moving on. Page 6 of 9, RV Park Improvement Debt Service Fund. This is... So our RV park, most of you guys probably all seen the improvements. The improvements are pretty much done. We did take out a loan for those improvements, and this shows what the requirements will be for us to pay this loan.
What was the total on that loan?
$600,000, and then I think we pumped another $120,000 of our own.
So this is a yearly or monthly?
This is what we will be looking at paid for the year, for the fiscal year.
Oh,
$57,718. It's about a $5,000 a month.
It's about
$4,000.
About $4,000 a month.
Can I make a suggestion before we leave? Under the principal payments, it's got the... number 7 there says restroom, laundry facilities, and upgrades and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no laundry facilities out there anymore. Shouldn't that be dropped? Isn't that kind of misleading? Is that, I mean, I'm just being nitpicky.
You're nitpicking, but we can definitely take
okay.
it off. No, that one kind of went, yeah, there is no laundry facility, so those are things that we can definitely...
It was something that we talked about, adding laundry.
Right.
We talked about it last year.
I know when this project originally started off, that was one of our goals to try and get in there. So,
Richard?
So, just for the record, I might point out, when we contemplated taking out this loan, the question was how we were going to pay it back. And so with the development of the six new sites, the anticipated revenue from those annually is about $60,000. So it was pretty clear to us that just by adding those 6 sites would help satisfy this loan without taking jeopardizing anything else in the budget. So when we do loans, at least my experience is that that's one of the questions we ask ourselves is, so how are we going to pay for this? And where is the money going to come from? So RV parks are a fantastic investment.
Yeah.
for the port. That's what supports most of, well, not most, but a lot of what we do here comes from revenue from the RV park. So I just wanted to make that clear that, you know, we, when we do loans, given our history of being in debt with IFA and finally getting that consolidated and put together, we're very careful about looking at how we're going to pay for this stuff.
And just so everybody knows, the bank is very picky about how we get our loans too. There's quite a bit of, you know, return of investment. We have to prove that. They're not just going to give us money. We have the ability to get loans, but it can't just be so we have money with no future way to pay for it. So we do take any loans or future, you know, investments like that very seriously about what the future could bring. Currently, right now, we pay a lot of debt on things we don't have anymore. So those are learning experiences that we've had that sparks quite a conversation before we move forward, stuff like that.
Okay.
Moving on, page 7 of 9, capital projects fund. So this is where our budget gets really big. The way I have this set out, the FEMA dredging, we have been awarded that money from FEMA in the amount of the 1.835304. Matching funds will come from, yep, line item number 9, Business Oregon. That brings that total project up to $2.4 million. I put every single one of these projects in here as money being spent because as we've been waiting a very long time for this funding and projects to come through, it's looking like all of it's going to hit at once. It's kind of our worst case scenario that we didn't want to happen. But it's looking like it very well might happen this year. So I'm expecting a lot of work, a lot of progress on these projects that, quite frankly, we've been waiting since 2019 to see come through. So putting all this on there, I think it's going to set us up for the future of what we have spent on it, where that project went through each year, and we'll keep knocking it down for budgeted items in the future year until we run those projects out of money.
So your new position is going to be coming at a very good time for it.
And this is why this number right here is the big reason why. Our port operating budget is under $4 million. Our port capital projects is $7.5 million. And they're not just one project. One's from FEMA, one's from EPA, and one is from OEM. So, and then matching funds from Business Oregon. It's a lot of moving parts, a lot of information, and a lot of people that need to be involved with it to make sure it's moving along. If we don't, these projects are going to take us an extremely long time to do. And when you don't show up with your performance, it's gonna hurt our future of doing anything and actually getting these projects completed.
And reimbursement.
Well, and the reimbursements, I think, are one of the biggest things with this. There are forms, there are spreadsheets, the information you have to keep, retain, and keep track of is a lot. April and I have tried. We've been trying to do this for a few months now, and we're slowly drowning. That's what I'm finding. And it's no fault of hers, it's no fault of mine. We're both very new at this end of it, and it's very complicated for somebody that even does know what they're doing.
And the other scope of it is that FEMA's constantly changing what they need and what category we're in and what money goes where and what money's coming from where, and for us to manage what's been done and what the changes are and what they want us to do now, it's a lot to keep up with.
Excuse me for my ignorance here, but the next item down from dredging is WWTP
wastewater
fish crossing
treatment
at $3,500,000.
That's the wastewater treatment plant.
Okay.
So that was an appropriations bill that Congressman Peter DeFazio got for us, an appropriations bill. So It was allocating $3.5 million to the Port of Brooklyn for wastewater needs. When they give appropriations like that, they have to, the congressman has to find a funding agency to run the funds through. So this funding is coming through the EPA. And so we have the money, but it's not just like EPA hands you $3.5 million. We're $80,000 deep right now into wastewater treatment plant engineering. That's all reimbursable, but to get the reimbursements, you have to go through this. So it's a lot of money out first to then get it back.
Is this one of your bigger projects this year too?
Yes, it's a very big project that is coming very quickly. And the need for this is a very high need, especially in the fish processing world for our commercial fleet, boats that deliver here, the jobs at the processing plant, and to keep things moving at this port.
Who's going to be owning that?
There's a lot of that that still has to be worked out. The port will own it. It will be a permit.
Repairs?
Huh?
Operation and repairs?
No. I don't want to answer any more questions, you know, too many questions before I get it all figured out, but the intended focus on this is that the port will own it. The port will own the equipment. The port will own the discharge permit through DEQ, but all of those operations will be leased out. Our vision is to lease all that operation out to Pacific Seafood. But a lot of all that has to come via agreements and lawyers to figure out what the rates are going to be. It's a little premature to know exactly all those answers right now, but under no way, shape, or form does the port have the staff or the ability to operate a wastewater treatment plant. Pacific Seafood, however, does. They own many plants. They operate many different treatment plants. And in a meeting they have, in a public meeting, two public meetings ago, Pacific Seafood was actually here and definitely showed their interest in being able to handle the operations.
Will they be leased? It will be in form of a lease. Okay, great.
And supposedly what they said, if you were at the meeting, they said they would cover the expenses.
What expenses? Oh, operation?
Putting the stuff in. And am I wrong? Well, didn't they say they were going to cover a lot of it?
I wouldn't say Pacific Seafood has agreed to anything.
Yes. No, but they verbally.
But they understand the process and the needs of what will have to happen with this and have shown interest in being able to take those over.
Okay, good.
So just to be clear, on the wastewater treatment plant, the reason that that's contemplated is to treat waste from this fish processing plant.
Right.
So that it can be discharged into the harbor. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what it's there for.
And continue to be able to operate.
So from the perspective of the community, it's a pretty significant thing in terms of supporting the commercial fleet. That's why we're here.
The initial design is for 500,000 gallons a day. We have one current user, which is Pacific Seafood, that on a high side is about 350,000 gallons per day. So the system that we're building does have, you know, essentially room for 150,000 gallons of a different waste product to be used for. It's not solely for Pacific Seafood, but right now we have an opportunity to put one up and we have one user. But it will give us the ability to expand. This plant can be expanded for up to 1.5 million gallons per day. The biggest hamstring of bringing anybody else or anything else in here is the current other public utility work, such as water and power.
How much water is in our standard?
Currently, right now, from what I've understood, it's really the water and how much they use is really not a port deal at all, but so far that the water that Pacific Seafood is using, harbor water can't keep up with that.
Okay.
If we do have other potential users that might want to discharge into that, one of their first hurdles will be going to the Harbor Water to see, and all, quite frankly, all the utilities, to see if they can provide the service that they're looking for.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, and then the matching funds for those projects, Business Oregon is $500,000 each for the dredging and paving and storm drains.
And that's contributed by the state of Oregon. We don't have to put anything into that.
We don't have to put anything into that. Business Oregon, I know for ports, I don't know if they do this for everybody, but if there is a declared disaster, a state declared disaster, Business Oregon, and it's a, when you're awarded money, Business Oregon will contribute up to $500,000 of matching funds to your project. So it, it, you know, sometimes it's not enough. In our case, it's exactly what we need. So it's good for us. Any other questions on capital projects? Port Construction Fund. So this one's pretty simple. The Port Construction Fund was created when we got the RV park loan. It was part of the requirements when we got the RV park loan for accounting purposes and to track. Now that the RV park monies are exhausted and the project is completed, we're going to keep this Port Construction Fund open for projects that we need to kind of hold ourselves accountable, and we want to put on its own things for tracking purposes. So it means that the county will be tracking the $50,000 that we have from the state local recovery fund. We're going to end up transferring this money into our Port Construction Fund when we decide what project we're going to do, just to keep track of that, those expenditures, and be able to report them back to the county. This is the reserve fund. Okay. So as we said before with the reserve fund, and this initial one, the landfill money wasn't added into the reserve fund. So the major question was with our financial consultant was, you know, can we put it in the reserve fund? Because you're not supposed to put money into a reserve fund or take it out without board approval. After going through, we did do a resolution for that money and put it, and so that allowed us to actually keep it in the reserve fund. And that's why we're highlighting on this page. So our cash carryover for our reserve fund went from $226,000 to $400,236. Total requirements for the reserve fund, we'll have $476,236. But might I remind you, that number is dependent on our wastewater treatment plant matching funds. If we, this number will ultimately go down because of the problem. If that money, $140,000 of it, will either go to IFA for our debt, or the full $175,000 will go towards matching funds for the wastewater treatment plant. So it's in here, it's there, but it is going to get spent one way or the other. We just don't know which way we're going with it yet. Does that make sense?
Well,
I know. I try and keep it as simple as possible, but it goes in circles. So these are required. Okay, so moving on, so everybody's to the schedules on their packet, the schedules, and then you turn the page, and the schedule page, it'll say 1 of 7 at the bottom. There it is. Okay. Page 1 of 7, so you will find, I gave you guys a handout that has changes to it. This is where it shows basically our entire personnel services, total material services, and our total allocated requirements for our general fund department. you'll see at the top for office staff, it went up to 21,000, almost 22,000, from 270 to 292. Cost and benefits actually stayed the same, for a total personnel services of $905,864. That money was taken from our total repairs and maintenance, brings our total allocated requirements to $2,945,809. So again, it didn't change the budgeted number that we presented to you, it just moved around how we were going to spend the money. This is just a breakout of each department. Okay, so page two, requirements for the beachfront RV park. So between repairs and maintenance, office expenses, staff, all things included, $507,536 for requirements in the RV park. The next page will show requirements for the commercial retail, which has office staff, or personnel services, repairs and maintenance, you know, other expenditures that will be used for it. Total requirements for retail, commercial retail is $441,006. Any questions? Okay. Requirements for the fuel dock. Total personnel and services at $204,467. We're planning on purchasing $800,000 worth of fuel for resale. Total department requirements will be $1,152,910.
Are all the problems with the fuel dock fixed at this point?
The fuel dock is running well. Yes. Yes, last year we paved, we redid, we rerouted fuel lines, we bought a new gas and diesel fuel dispenser that's down there. The gangway's been replaced, all the piping's been replaced from the top of the gangway down, so the fuel dock continues to operate really well.
Excellent.
So the last page that we have of your handout, in total, this is where the project manager salary came from. You'll see on line item number 12, repairs and maintenance for the marina. I lowered it from $205,349 to $183,426. Page 5 of 7
on the correction.
Says requirements for marina, and the handout that I gave you has the correction that I'm talking about. Okay. It did not change our total number for the marina. One thing that's not in here, because I don't know when they're going to come here and I don't know how to expect it, is reimbursements from cash that we still have out. It will end up being somehow figured into our future supplemental budget as that money comes in, where we can redistribute it and we can start moving this number back up. But we have $203,000 out right now for reimbursement that has been generating from 2019 when we started this project. So you'll see it's not in here, but we have now got, you know, our FEMA approval, the EPA phase one funding, I found out yesterday, is one more approval away from being done. So we'll be able to start getting reimbursed on our wastewater treatment plant. But as that money comes in, it will up our cash carryover, which will make it to where we can distribute that money once we actually have it.
And to be clear, the reimbursement are things like engineer services. You know, in order to do the wastewater treatment plan, we had to come up with a design, which meant we had to turn the engineer loose to design it. And so now we're going to get a chance to get that reimbursed back to us.
And it wasn't money, I guess I should kind of clarify that. It wasn't just money spent willy-nilly that it's not. It's under our professional fees in it. So we have contracts for engineering, general port engineering. We have contracts for wastewater treatment plant and for FEMA. So that's where the money that we're currently spending is coming out of professional fees. So that's why it doesn't show any type of reimbursement because we haven't got it back yet. But we had to show where it was getting spent via contract for them to even work on the project.
Yeah, the only question I got as far as that's concerned is that when you install something like that, the company that actually comes in there and installs it does all the engineering. So the, no? Who's telling the people that install it how to do it?
Our engineer that's designing.
I said, oh, okay.
Our engineer that is designing it will ultimately, you know, he's the one that will produce the blueprints in working with the manufacturers. You know, the wastewater treatment plant, it's a more of a bunch of different units put together that are already they come with their own engineering. Our engineering is saying where we're going to place them.
And
they show how they get hooked up together.
Okay.
So it's kind of a combination of that manufacturer's engineering and our engineering taking what they have and putting it into perspective with our ground.
Okay. It has to be totally approved by our engineer?
Our engineer has to put together something that he's confident with, then we have to bring that back to the board for them to approve. And then once they approve our design that we have, then you have to take that design, give it to DEQ. DEQ takes 6 months to review your plan.
Wow.
And then they'll tell you if you can have a permit, because they'll look at our engineering, they'll look at what their requirements are, and they're going to render a pretty hefty opinion on if our equipment
design
is going to work. It takes about 6 months, and their review is about $40,000. So it's a very closely watched process. Everybody who's anybody has a say before that thing even gets built or the equipment is even purchased. The EPA, the funding also, you know, through EPA,
sure.
The EPA is also looking at, you know, before they even give us the money, they want to know what we're proposing.
Right.
So it's essentially, you know, almost two agencies, the EPA and DEQ, that are reviewing this, that we're not going to be able to go ahead until they agree with what our design is. It's not solely landing on our engineer and our board to say if this is going to work or not. There's a lot of engineering behind it.
So the engineer has to take all of this into consideration, basically, when he's putting stuff together.
Yep, well, he designs, you know, as the design of the plant's happening and they're picking what manufacturer and what is going to be used in there. They're using data from Pacific Seafood, from what they have to test the water that's going out. They're using that data to decide what equipment we're going to need to achieve.
And he also has to consider what EPA is going to say about it.
You have to consider everything, yeah. Because they all have a say. Department of State Lands, DEQ, I mean, it keeps going and going and going. Multiple different agencies. And they all have a different want and need.
If you want to cut to the chase, a large percentage, well, not a large, but a percentage of our budget is spent on government.
Mm-hmm.
To satisfy the requirements from all the alphabet agencies out there. If you're going to do something or you're going to get money from them, they're going to charge you for that, for review and all those sorts of things. So it's, you know, I was asked one time, well, how come government costs so much? Because of government. That's why.
Yes, they can. Okay, so
all our tax dollars at work.
They have a lot of money out there for you to get. It's just not easy to obtain it. They say it's free money, but it is far, far from it. Okay, Schedule B, that starts just outlining our amortization schedules. Basically, this is our debt, what we show we're going to pay through that year, and giving us ending balances of what we'll have left paid. So the first one is our RV park. The second one is the travel lift lease. You'll see that that one goes through October. So once that payment goes through, so effectively November, that will be paid off. Our Genie, our 12K forklift, is also getting close. After we make all of our payments through this year, the following year we'll have about $11,000 left to pay on. Right now we owe $27,786.
Is that equipment, does that have a schedule for maintenance and stuff like that? Or
Yeah.
Is that your responsibility?
Yeah, my responsibility.
Okay.
And I have daily, monthly, yearly. I have
seen that you got to.
That's all budgeted?
That's what repairs and maintenance are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then IFA and our USDA loan. So with the changes proposed, I'm going to bring us back to the budget message so we can adjust a few things. Is there any questions with the numbers, anything that's been presented so far?
There is one thing that you mentioned right at the beginning that said you have, it's probably not a, I know you've been doing some averaging and you can't really anticipate some of these boats that are just derelict boats that are falling apart. You haven't got a budget for that. I can see where that would be kind of difficult. But does that go out of the general fund, what you have to pull a boat out and have it hauled away?
Ultimately, if we get ourselves into a position, which currently right now with our, we have looked at our mortgage agreements and, you know, the policies of boats being here, it's getting a lot more difficult for somebody to bring a boat in here and just walk away from it to where we don't know who or when they, how they got there. Some ports in some places do have that problem, and if I were to come in and there's a boat on the transit dock and nobody to be found at all, yes, that would come out of our general fund.
Okay.
We haven't really been experiencing that. We do go through abandoned and derelict boats, but any of them that we have here, we've weeded out a lot of them, and we do inspections, seaworthy inspections. That if the boat's not running or is starting to become a derelict boat, we talk to them, we find out what their plan is, and we do that while we have a responsible owner on file. And then once we go after them and we have that responsible owner, I work with them as much as I can to the point of getting their boat fixed and up to date in a reasonable amount of time. If that doesn't happen, it gets hauled out and it's up to them if they want to start fixing the boat or if they're just going to leave it. Some people, when it comes to that, just leave it. We do, however, have your name and your information. And once 30, 50, 90 days goes by, pre-seizure, seizure, and post-seizure are posted on the boat, and it goes through the process. We will throw it away at our cost, and all those costs are roped into one bill sent to the owner. They then have another 30, 60, 90 days to pay that, and if they don't, then we bring it back to the board to send up the collection.
Something require insurance for that? The boat owners?
They were required insurance, but insurance does not necessarily just cover an abandoned boat.
I thought that's part of
it. Well, it's good. More than likely, what I found in an abandoned boat, if they're abandoning the boat, they also do not have insurance.
Okay.
Typically, that's what we find. That's why we try and do our seaworthy inspection while they're current on mortgages. We have everything current on file. That's when we go talk to them, why they're good. So when things start falling off, we're not the last ones to know.
But to make it clear that the more a boat here, you have to have insurance that covers
abandonment.
Okay.
It does not cover abandonment.
We also, we do pass the cost for disposal on to the customer. Several times in the last year, those customers have chosen to dispose of their boat and paid in advance for the disposal fees. We have had two that we've had to make that decision to demolish after the 30, 60, 90 day process. Those costs are billed to the customer, and ultimately, if they don't pay it, they go to collection. So it depends on the customer. If they're responsive and they say, yeah, let's get rid of it, I'll pay for it. And if not, then we also pass that cost to them, and then we go through the process.
Whenever you do buy insurance, that was part of the requirements at the point.
No, it was $500,000 of general liability insurance.
Right.
It must include oil pollution and wreck removal. So it's not abandonment. It's in the event that you have a insured boat and it sinks
right
out there from whatever cause it might be, that the boat can then be removed. But as far as taking care of an abandoned boat, like I said, most times you come across an abandoned boat, there's no insurance on it. So we try, all of our rules are designed to stop that before you don't have a responsible owner.
So what happened with the Amador's boat that burnt? What happened with that?
He has asked support to take it to the, you know, strip it, take it to CTR, and he will pay us for that removal. He has insurance. His insurance pays for the removal of it.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, it's his choice to decide who he wants to do it, but he's elected to have us do it. So our guy's time, everything will be factored in. He'll be billed for it.
Good.
Okay, so getting back on topic, did you have a question?
I just have one comment. Before we leave the budget, I would just point out the significance of Schedule B. In years past, as you may or may not know, we got into a fair amount of trouble with the state of Oregon because we weren't paying our bills
mm-hmm.
and weren't paying our debt. So over the last, when did this begin?
Our debt.
No, this process of consolidation and reconciliation.
It's been a while now.
So by working with the state of Oregon to consolidate the information about the loans that we have outstanding from them and putting together a payment schedule, which is what's in this schedule, we've been allowed then to continue to kind of do business with them. So this is not an insignificant thing. I just point that out frequently that this port has come a long way in the last few years with trying to figure out how we're going to pay for stuff. And that's a significant issue, was a significant issue for us.
But no further interest.
Well, then no further interest will be solely expended on our performance on paying them on time. We have taken our debt payments from $62,500 a year to now we're paying $77,500 a year. And that is to make up for the payments that the port wasn't paying in the past. That got us in trouble. So we got the money, we were paying more in our payments to make up for those missed payments to keep us on track. And currently right now, IFA is completely satisfied with everything we're doing, and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing with
and
our debt.
Just to clarify, it's $77,500 a quarter.
Yeah, I'm sorry, $77,500
so,
per quarter.
Per quarter.
So that's four times a year.
Mm-hmm.
We pay a lot in debt.
Yes. Okay, so moving forward. So, Danielle, did you have any public comments?
I did not receive any public comments.
Okay. So does anybody else have any further comments?
I'd like to make a comment. I'd like to thank the port staff and budget committee. You guys do a great job. The port staff works incredibly hard, and I know they're swamped, and I appreciate everything they do. And I know we need more people. I would just like to say I was uncomfortable with the fact that we just approved a new position, funding, everything that goes on with a new position in a budget committee. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Murray.
Just out of curiosity, if you two guys are getting somewhat overpowered with some of the straight financial stuff. Is there any reason to hire a straight financial officer?
We have a financial consultant that we pay that's on a retainer.
Okay.
That is the person when we have questions that we go to. However, they're not the person that sits down and goes through your budget and talks with your manager and your employees to create with these numbers. Once we have this, it's something that he looks at, he reviews, and says, go ahead. For those of you that don't know, this is mine and April's first time ever doing a budget for this part. We've been a part of it. We've had our input. But going through everything that we have here, we did have to have help, and I did hire a part-time help for the budget, for budgeting purposes. So, yes, it's not, a financial person is needed, but...
Not full-time?
Not full-time and not for all the purposes. I'm hoping that the help that we had for this, we still might need help next year a little bit, but I'm hoping to get us to the point where April and I can handle it and just have the review from our financial consultant. But given our being our first time, I don't know if this court's ever had a bigger budget. As far as dollar-wise, we needed some help to make sure that it was correct.
Well, from everything I've seen, you guys are doing quite even better than reasonable, Joe.
Thank you.
And the improvements around here are absolutely noticeable.
Thank you.
And to be clear also, at the end of the year, we have an independent audit done also, so that what all we do here is reviewed by somebody else. And then they report back on their audit report.
And they report their audit report to the state. Well, and along with the audit, the EPA are dredging the wastewater treatment plant. It will have its own audit. FEMA will have its own audit for the expenditures we use for dredging, and OEM will have their own independent audit for expenditures through hazard mitigation. So in total, at the end of this year, we will have at least four audits, which also goes to for the sake that keeping track of it and making sure we're on top of it is a very crucial aspect of what we're doing. It's kind of a responsibility. If we're going to be taking on this much money, we need to make sure that we're saying that we can handle it properly.
Some of these projects, big ones we have coming up, is it going to affect business here? Is it going to, people going to be intimidated coming in here?
I don't think so. I don't think so. The dredge, that wastewater treatment plant shouldn't, that construction shouldn't affect any outside activities. Dredging, once we get that going, there will be very small impacts throughout the port depending on where we're at due to the dredge being out there working. It is a floating pipe, so there will be little things, but most of all these projects shouldn't greatly impact the function of the port. When we do paving out here where the crab pots and stuff are at, we're going to have to be moving those. There'll be a little bit of work, but everybody should still be able to utilize the port during these projects.
Okay.
With the dredging that's coming up and everything that's going on at the port, you got enough help out in the field?
We'll see.
I'll hire.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, the dredge that we're planning on purchasing is a remote control dredge. You're not actually out on it. It's electric.
That's interesting.
That typically, once it's up and running, two people should be able to adequately operate it. It's not a huge dredge. You know, it's not like something that you see you're in it and driving around all the place. It's a pretty small, compact dredge. It has an 8-inch pipe. We're looking at being able to get between 8 and 10,000 cubic yards a year out. That's all?
What do you do with that?
Well, we are building a sediment storage basin over in the gear storage. These plans are a lot of it. We've talked about in our meetings and our plans and where we're at, but there will be a small storage and stockpile with a dewatering, be able to dewater the water and then have the material hauled off. The reason we don't want to do all this, you know, we can't get 40,000 yards out in 1 year. We don't have room to put 40,000 yards of anything.
Okay.
So we need to make sure, and it's kind of our plan, that we could go through this project without flipping our port upside down, without making mass movements of boats to get in these big dredges to get it all done at once. And the way FEMA works and what we're doing, that the port will be able to retain this dredge for the rest of its life, and it will be paid for. So not only will we be able to do the approved 38,000 cubic yards, but after that project's done, we'll be able to continue doing maintenance dredging throughout our port, which is something our port has struggled with since the beginning.
Yeah. Is there a problem with the drainage or something like that, that ultimately drains back into the port?
There's not a problem with it. There's just engineering has to go, so there's not a problem. You know, there is turbidity curtains that have to be put up.
Okay.
The outlets and stuff have to be at one end. Your discharge, your water coming in is at one end. Your water going out is at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
There is screens. There is standards through permits with DEQ for the water quality of the water going back in.
Right.
That you, yes, all that is monitored.
So,
all that is part of the permit.
Good. Okay, good.
Yep. And we have our dredging permit. We just got our 5-year in-water dredging permit. So
when are you planning on starting this?
I really hope by October. Instead of getting something done, there is a good amount of material that is probably going to be taken out by a clamshell that's down by the boatyard because the rock and aggregate is so big that this dredge won't be able to pump that out. So hopefully this year we're purchasing a dredge, we're getting a generator, all that stuff coming. And as far as in-water work, I hope to get about 5,000 yards out during our in-water work period between October and February.
Is that specifically for the harbor, or is that between the jetties? Or
so our basins are this basin,
yeah,
and basin two.
Okay, that's
in front of the Coast Guard, in front of Pacific Seafood. That's all federal channel that is maintained by the
okay.
Corps of Engineers.
Got it.
So Travis, the permit that we're getting for the dredging permit, it's only usable during the in-water work period over
yep.
the years, right?
Yep, good for 5 years during
okay.
October 15th to March 1st.
Thank you.
Okay.
So you're limited time.
Okay, so
4 months.
Any further
so you
comments or questions?
Yep.
All right, hearing none. Can I get a motion to approve the budget?
I want to make a motion to approve the budget as it was presented.
I just 1 second, because we didn't go over this. So this number down here in your sample motion, it says $12,579,373.
Mm-hmm.
That number with the changes that have been made, and that the whole thing is because of the property land sale. We didn't know where to put it with the reserve
okay.
fund. So this is up 174,000 and change. So your number, and just write it down, whoever's making the motion,
okay.
$12,753,609.
And that's on the corrections page that we
yeah.
gave you guys.
Okay, I move that the budget committee approve the proposed budget as presented for the Port of Brookings, Harbor, 2023 to 2024 fiscal year in the amount of $12,573,609.
Nope, stop. That number I just gave you, $12,753,609.
Amen. Good enough. Anybody want to second that?
I second it.
Okay. We have a motion and we have a second. Danielle? Joe?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Al?
Yes.
Wayne?
Yes.
Rich?
Yes.
Gary?
Yes.
Brett?
Yes.
Now we need an approval of the tax rate for the port fiscal 2022 to 2023 to submit to the assessor's office.
I think the tax rate that the port is being made is too low. If you look
look at your tax bills and look what the rest of these places are getting and how much the importance of the port, that the money that we're getting from the taxpayer is too low. And somewhere down the line, I think we ought to request that we can raise that percentage. I don't know if I'm making sense, but I mean, from a practical, I don't think anybody disagrees with you, Gary, but from a practical sense, the best way for that to happen is for the public to come to us and say, you need more money, just what you just said.
Okay, I'll be up next week, so.
And the reason for that is obviously in this county or probably any other, if you're going to go ask for more money, it's not going to be a walk in the park. I mean, our track record in Curry County hasn't been so good for things like public safety and different things we've tried. So that sort of effort would take a pretty good public push.
How is the library doing it?
Pretty good public push, public support.
Yep.
Yeah. We as a society will take care of things we like, but stuff we don't care for, probably not. But.
Okay, so can I please get a motion?
I make a motion the Budget Committee approve the tax rate of 0.1316 per thousand upon the assessed value of the taxable property within the district for the tax year 2023-2024 for operating purposes of the general fund.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and we have a second. Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes. Larry?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Al?
Yeah.
Wayne?
Yes.
Rich?
Yes.
Gary?
Yes.
Brett?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything further here that anybody would like to speak on? Okay. In that case, we are adjourned.
Goodbye.
Very good. Very good. And I understood what was